As Mark said, we now have the privilege, the joy of opening up God's Word together. I invite you to follow along in your bulletin. We have two scripture passages this morning, one from the New Testament and then one from the Old Testament. The first, Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6, and the second, Genesis 5, verses 21 through 24. Hear now God's Word, beginning in Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was taken up, so that he should not see death, and he was not found, because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who seek him. In Genesis 5, 21 through 24. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning, everyone. Morning. Great to be with you this morning. It's a beautiful day, and hopefully you've had a great weekend so far, and you have more to come. We have another extra day, which is a huge praise, and it's good to remember why we have another day. It's Memorial Day, and what we're doing when we celebrate Memorial Day is we are remembering men and women who gave their lives to protect our country and the freedoms that we so enjoy. And that is worthy of acknowledging. And so if you grill out tomorrow, if you enjoy your family, your friends, it's an entirely appropriate way to celebrate Memorial Day, because it's a way of life that has been protected for us. And it's a pretty amazing thing that these men and women who have died for their country attempted to accomplish something and fulfill something greater than their own self-fulfillment. And that's a very admirable thing. And so I want to ask you a question. That there's actually several questions, but one question that sort of summarizes this morning's message from Hebrews 11 and Genesis 5 is this: who are you trying to please? And are you trying to please someone or live into some greater aim than just your own self-fulfillment, just the things that you want in life? Who are you trying to please in your life? If you're new here, we're in a series, and we like preaching through entire books of the Bible verse by verse, and so we are in the book of Hebrews. It's at the end of your Bibles, and it's a New Testament book, and the guy who wrote it wrote to, most of the people he wrote to were Jews who had converted to Christianity, and these people were experiencing a lot of pain because they were losing their jobs, they were losing their friendships. Some of their families were writing them off and disowning them because they had come to believe in Jesus. And the point of the letter, the message that the author of Hebrews preaches is really this. It's very simple. Stay with Jesus. Don't turn away just because things are difficult, because Jesus is simply the best. He's the best that we could have. He's better than anything else. He's better even than our family, our jobs, our friends. He is the greatest one that we could have. And so we're now in Hebrews chapter 11, which is a fairly well-known chapter of the Bible. It's known as the Hall of Faith, and it lists out all of these people from the Old Testament who lived faithful lives. They lived by faith. And so we've come upon a guy who I would not blame you at all if you had never heard of this guy. His name's Enoch. And he gets all of the action for Enoch is right here in the passages this morning. That's it. That's all we know about him, okay? But what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask four questions And we're going to walk through each of these questions because Enoch's life has practical significance for us. So the first question is, how did Enoch please God? The second question is, what was his reward? The third question is, how do we please God? And the fourth question is, what are our rewards? Does that make sense? So four things. How did Enoch please God? What was his reward? How do we please God? And what are the rewards that God gives to us? That's what we're going to walk through, okay? Let's pray first. Father, thank you for a beautiful day. Thank you for your word. And we pray now that you would send your spirit so that we can hear it and understand it and even apply it to our lives. We pray your blessing over this time in Jesus' great name. Amen. So, my first job out of college, I graduated from Miami of Ohio. I heard you, Matt Jeter. Well done. Love and honor. Graduated, and I got a job, and my first full-time job was I sold businesses a service, and that service was taking care of payroll. So if you had a five-man sub shop, and you have to pay them in order for them to keep working, you also have to give the tax man what he's owed, and you can get into a lot of trouble for doing it wrong. So what our service did was take care of the payroll. And I had a boss, his name was Shannon. His name was Shannon. That's a very Irish name, and he was very Irish. He was very intense. He was fair, but he was very intense. And I wanted to please Shannon. Because I knew that if I worked really hard and I was successful, then he would make sure that I was rewarded, okay? So what do you do if you want to be successful in that job? Well, you talk to a lot of companies and you try to sell a lot of payroll service. So you could find me on any given Friday evening at 5 p.m. on the phone cold calling companies. And if you don't know what cold calling is, it's when you do something to make someone hang up on you, okay? That's cold calling. But I did it in the off chance that I would find somebody who had just gotten a letter from the IRS and their whole business was blowing up and they needed somebody to take care of their payroll. And occasionally, that happened. But why did I do that? Friday nights, 5 o'clock, everybody else is gone. I did it because I wanted to please Shannon, my boss. I want you to think about this question for a moment. Who is it that you are trying to please right now? Might be your peer group. It might be your parents. It might be your husband, your wife. It might be your kids. It might be your boss. But put someone in your mind who you are trying to please right now. And I want you to think about them, and we'll come back to this. But here's what we learned from the text. Enoch wanted to please God. He wanted to please God. And so here's the first question. How did Enoch please God? Look in the text in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. It says, by faith, Enoch, by faith. That's how he pleased God. And we've had this running definition for what faith is, and the way that we've defined it is taking God at his word about Jesus and about everything else. Okay? That's a working definition of faith. To take God at his word about what he says about Jesus, and then to believe everything else, even the difficult stuff, even the stuff that everybody else in our world, our culture, is pushing back against. We believe in what God says, and we take him at his word. Now, in Hebrews 11:6, we're going to find a supplementary definition, a complementary definition of faith that helps us. And it kind of goes along with the way that we've defined faith. Look in verse 6. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. So that means that Enoch had faith. For whoever would draw near to God must do two things. You must believe that he exists, and you must believe that he rewards those who seek him. Those two things. Now, on the face of it, that sounds very vanilla, to believe that God exists. Like, if you ask the average American if they believe that God exists, most Americans would say, yes, I believe that God exists. This is a different kind of believing that he exists. Did you know that God is not interfaith-minded? He doesn't say that, well, for the Muslims, they can believe that way about me, and the Buddhists can believe this way, and the Hindus can believe this way. That's not what God says. God actually says, who I am, I have revealed to you, and you need to worship me and relate to me in the way that I command you to. God tells us that he doesn't just take any old way. He's revealed himself to us. He's revealed himself to us most clearly in Jesus, and then he's given us his word, the Old and New Testaments, that define who he is, that set out how we are to approach him. That is how we believe in God. So that's the first thing. We have to believe in God in the way that he's revealed himself to us. And then second, we have to believe that he rewards those who seek him. And note that it doesn't say that he rewards those who do good deeds. Many, many people believe that as long as I'm a good person, I don't do terrible things, then God will have to accept me because God is, you know, he's tolerant and he would understand, you know, that I didn't do everything right and that I did my best. Actually, in order to have faith, in order to please God, we have to believe that approaching the God of the Old and New Testaments will actually give us rewards. Now, will we do good things as Christians? Of course we will, and we ought to. But the point is that in order to have faith, we believe that he exists in the way that he's disclosed and revealed. And two, we believe that he rewards those who seek him, those who are with him, those who stay close to him. This, we have a dog, okay? He's a big dog. It's 120 pounds. He's a golden retriever. And he wants nothing more than to be pet. He's very friendly. But the thing is, when he's outside, he barks at anybody going by. He barks constantly. When the Amazon or the FedEx guy comes, he barks and barks and barks to the point, well, just yesterday, there was a woman who, bless her heart, she was delivering, and she put like four boxes by the mailbox halfway in the street because Calvin was out there barking. I don't blame her at all. And so that's annoying when our dog does that, and we've tried, but we're not great trainers, and so, but we do have one thing that we do. We have this thing, it's a clicker, and we click it, and so I'm going to put it up by my mic. Do you hear that? When Calvin hears that, do you know what he does? He comes running. Why? Because we're going to give him a treat. And we reward Calvin for seeking us and for not barking anymore. So he understands that if he comes near us, he's going to be rewarded. It's really as simple as that in our relationship with God. If we walk with God, we will be rewarded. We will have good things. We will be blessed with a number of things. And Enoch did that. If you look again in the text in Genesis 5 this time, look at what it points out. We don't know much about Enoch. We know how long he lived. We know that he was the dad of Methuselah. And just Bible trivia, did you know that Methuselah was the oldest man who ever lived? Somebody tells you that you look like Methuselah, it's not a compliment, okay? There's one other thing we know, and it's said twice. Verse 22, verse 24, Enoch walked with God. Now, if you have read the Bible at all, you know that there are genealogies in the Bible, and they're pretty boring. Now, from a literary perspective, they're important because they mark off the end of an era, the beginning of another, the focus on an important person. But Genesis chapter 5 is a long chapter about people who lived and died, and it's a genealogy. And there's really, it's hard to see that you can get a lot out of it. And here's the pattern. It's the same for everybody, all eight people, except for one. So I'm going to read Genesis 5 verses 6 and 7. When Seth had lived 105 years, he fathered Enosh. Seth lived, after he fathered Enosh, 807 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Will you say that with me, those three words? One, two, three. And he died. Oh, eight times, over and over. And he died, and he died, and he died. Now, people lived a long time back then. That's kind of weird. Like 900 years, 800 years. What is happening there? Well, in the very next chapter, God sets out and he sets limits to how long humans will live. He says 120 years-ish, and they won't live any longer than that. But before then, they lived far longer. This is before the flood, and they lived 800, 900 years. And do you know the specific details of their lives? I don't. Why? Because we know three words: and he died. That's it. You know how we are so busy, and we just think, I just need a little more time. If I had a little more time, I could get so much more accomplished. 900 years, and do you know what we know about them? And he died. That puts things in perspective. So then, what do we do with our lives? I mean, how do we leave a legacy for our lives? Well, one thing we could do is we could give, if we're wealthy, we could give a lot of money and have something named after us. I don't know. We could do that, and then our legacy maybe would live on. Another thing we might do is accomplish something amazing, and then hopefully that will live on beyond us. Like, get a hole in one. Which I did last Saturday in Pinehurst Golf Club. I hit a hole in, no, please don't clap for me. It was a blind squirrel finding an acorn. But look, I got a medal. And you know what it says on the back? David Milroy, Pinehurst number one, May 21st, hole 5, 143 yards. So maybe this will help me live on. Like, I might keep it and then pass it down to my children and through the gen. Do you know what my kids would do if they received this when I died? They would find the nearest trash can. And they should. Lucy, that's not funny. You don't have to say that. So we might try to find a lot of different ways for us to live beyond just our own lives. It's worth noting that they had 800, 900 years, and we don't know anything about them except they died. The only thing we know differently about all of Genesis 5 is what happened with Enoch. And what does it say at the end of his life? Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God. That was how he pleased God. He had faith, and he walked with God. And so what was his reward? His reward was amazing. He didn't have to go through physical death. God just said, you know what? You've been walking with me. I'm going to take you into heaven, and you don't have to go through death. Well, that's quite a reward. There's only one other guy that that's happened to. Elijah in the Old Testament, he takes a chariot of fire up to heaven. There's the only two guys in human history who have not died the standard way, and that's what happens to Enoch. It says, again, back in Hebrews 11:5, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And so his reward was that he was able to be immediately in God's presence. And we could learn something from Enoch. His whole life was spent by faith. He walked with God, and God rewarded him. Now, so that's the second question. We've talked about how Enoch pleased God and what was his reward. Now we're going to talk about how do you and I please God. Well, it's right here for us, isn't it? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So to please God is not to do all of these things to earn his love. To please God is to have faith in God. And how do we have faith? There's a very specific kind of faith that we've been talking about. Faith is believing, first and foremost, that you were created by a creator who is personal and who loves you and who made you for a relationship with him. That's the first part of having faith. It's trusting that there's a creator who created you for a relationship with him. The second thing is really bad, but it's really true, and that is that all of us, everybody here and everybody in the community and everybody in the world, has utterly spurned the gift of creation, has turned away from God, and has said, I'm going to do it myself, my own way. I don't need you, God. I like your gifts. I don't need you. And the Bible calls that sin. And if you don't believe, especially this week, that people are bent and crooked and evil and wicked inside, then I'm not sure how I could convince you. I mean, what a horrific series of events. This awful shooting in Buffalo, this racist shooting, and then an awful shooting of elementary school kids by a kid. And it's unthinkable. And we would do well not to say, well, those people out there are the bad ones. I don't do anything like that, and Lord willing, none of us will ever do anything like that. But the point is that you and I are in the same boat as those people who perpetrated those terrible crimes. We are those who are alienated from God and who need His help in order to be made right, because we can't make it right on our own. We can't make it right by doing good things. We can't make it right by going to church. We can't make it right by, you know, X, Y, or Z. The only way, so first point, God created us good. Second point, we are all bad and we need help. The third aspect of faith is that God has made a way in Jesus, and we have seen Him. He represents the Father. He lived a perfect life. He died a terrible death, and then He rose again victoriously from the dead in order to pay for your sins and my sins. And He's the only solution. He's the only provision for our sins. Isn't that awesome? Isn't it great that Jesus came and did what we could not do? He died on the cross. He took on our sins. And so we have faith by trusting in Jesus. It's really that simple. And when you see, God was pleased with His Son Jesus and all that He did. And so when we put our faith in Jesus, we get His righteousness, and God is then pleased with us. So how do we please God? We have faith. We believe. And does obedience follow? Well, it should, slowly but surely. And you know, we want to have every aspect of our lives conform to what the Word of God says, and to be obedient. We'll never be perfectly obedient in this life, but we want to increasingly obey. We want to increasingly walk with God. Amen? So that's what it means to have faith. So I want to close. So how do we please God? We have faith. And then finally, what are the rewards? I'm going to talk about three rewards as I close, okay? Meaning in life, presence of God, and taken, okay? Meaning, presence, taken. First one, meaning. If you walk with God, just like with Enoch, we don't know the details, we don't need to. He walked with God and he invested in his relationship with God wisely, and therefore his life mattered. If you want a life that matters eternally, walk with God. That doesn't mean other people will see what God sees. It doesn't matter. Because who are we trying to please? We want to please God. And if you live with that perspective in mind, you can be a great business owner or executive or teacher or professor or student or athlete or whatever it is that you do for God, and it will count. Let me give you an example of a family in our church who I look at and say, you know, their life is imbued with meaning, eternal significance. And you may not see it just looking at their lives, but if you know them well enough, you will. They moved to Columbus 15 years ago or so. The reason why they moved was because they had family here, aging family, and they wanted to honor their parents and they wanted to take care of them. And there was a sacrifice. Their kids had friends there where they lived before, and it was hard to move, and it was hard to replant. And they did it because they wanted to honor God. They had faith. They wanted to walk with God, and they wanted to obey Him. And they got engaged in our church, and they became servant leaders, and they have deep relationships. And he started a business, and he's employing people, and he's doing his work for the glory of God. And they are serving not just here, but in our city and in our world. And all that they are doing by the grace of God has meaning because they're walking with God. And, you know, they are, they're older than me, but they still have years to go. And many of you are younger than me, and you have many years to go. But if you walk with God, no matter what you are doing, if you're doing it for His glory, it will be filled with great meaning. Does that make sense? Meaning. Second, presence, the presence of God. Now, to say that their lives, this couple, that their lives are filled with meaning does not mean that everything is perfect, and it doesn't mean that everything will be perfect in your life if you walk with God. You might have tremendous joy and blessing, and there are many of you here who you are just experiencing the grace of God, and things are really good. Others of you are in the fog of suffering, and you can't see 3 feet in front of you. And I want you to know that no matter who you are, and it's not based on whether God loves you or not, he does. It's not based on whether you are a good person or not. Did you know that Jesus said in Matthew 5:45 that the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike? What does that mean? It means it rains on you sometimes. Like, you know, in 2020 when we were meeting outside every Sunday, I mean, we were having church. You know, we prayed that it wouldn't rain, and one Sunday, some of you were there, the heavens absolutely burst, and it rained on us. But we prayed, and we're Christians. The rain falls on the just and the unjust alike, and it is no indication of God's love for us if it rains on us. The same is true of suffering. There's a person in our church, he or she, call him he, in the midst of a terrible trial right now, and has been accused of being a liar, being racist publicly. Still not entirely sure whether he's going to keep his job. Why was he accused of those things? Because he was doing right according to what God told him to do. And there have been moments where he's woken up in the middle of the night with a 200-pound weight of anxiety on him. But in those moments, he's cried out to God. He's asked for help. And by and large, the presence of God has been its own reward, because he knows that he's walking with him and he's doing right. And as long as we are walking with him and doing right, and that doesn't mean we'll feel it all the time, but God's presence goes with us, and that is a reward. And then finally, the last two, meaning, presence, taken. You and I will be taken by God if we trust in Jesus. That doesn't mean we'll be taken like Enoch, okay? Don't hold your breath. 2 out of I don't know how many billion people have lived have been taken in that way. But we will be taken when we die. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We'll die, but we'll live. John 11, Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And everyone who believes and lives for me will never die. You will die, probably, in the traditional way. But if you have Jesus, if you have faith, if you please God in your faith, in your simple trust in him, you will live forever with him. And that is how to please God. It's trusting in Jesus. So for those of you who are new, for those of you who may not be believers this morning, I want you to come to believe in Jesus. And you can right here and now, simply by owning up to the fact that you're a sinner, saying you're sorry, and putting your faith in Jesus. If you are a Christian, but you're apathetic, and you haven't been doing much, let this spur you on, let the word of God spur you on to be lazy no longer and to actively walk with God. And if you are energized, keep being energized, because if you, as you keep going, keep persevering, you are going to stand with the living God in eternal joy. And you know that that implies that those who do not, do not. And so let that be a warning to you. There are really only two options. You either trust in Jesus and you go to be with him forever when you die, or you don't and you pay for your own sins for all of eternity. Have faith. Trust in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning. We thank you for your word. It is so good and it encourages us so much. We pray that you would help us to see our lives in the very simple, straightforward way that your word teaches about our lives, that we are to walk with you. I pray for those who are struggling to have faith, who are here this morning. I pray that you would help them, that you would send your Spirit to give them the gift of faith, to trust in you and to trust in your word and all that it says. Father, I pray for those who do trust in you, but who are perhaps a little bit lazy, a little bit apathetic. I pray that you would spark in them the deep desire to walk with you faithfully. And Lord, I pray for those who are already doing that. May they continue. May we all say in the end that we want to please you more than whoever it was that came to our minds, more than our husband, our wife, our parents, our peers, whoever it is. We pray that we would desire to please you more than we want to please anyone else. And hear us now as we pray according to how Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.